Freedom4Radio.com.
Discover the mysteries of cosmetic dentistry. For all the insider tips and wellness solutions, tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gould, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
This is 4Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now...
All right, rodeo fans, it's time for She's Gone Country with the CB Cowgirls. Introducing your host, Becky Christensen, and co-host, Vicki Christensen O'Shiel. Hey, let's ride.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. This is your host, Becky Christensen, and with me is my co-host, Vicki Christensen O'Shiel. Vicki, good evening. Thank you for coming on with me tonight.
Good evening, Becky. I am happy to be here.
Hey, how about our new opening, everyone? We finally got it. I want to give a big shout-out to Miss Myra Pierce, our loved friend out of Moses Lake. Thank you so much for our new opening. I love it. Tonight, we're going to do a rebroadcast tonight, but before we go into it, I just wanted to say thank you so much to all of our sponsors. We have a lot going on. We're rounding out the curve of the year. It's the 9th of November, and in a month, we'll be halfway through the finals and on our way home for holidays. So, Vic, we got a lot going on.
Oh, wow, Becky. It is coming upon us so fast. That's the one thing I can't believe. But, you know, we've been working hard and getting together a fantastic lineup for the live show in Vegas at Mandalay Bay. And there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that sometimes we just scratch our heads and wonder, okay, Lord, are we going to make it?
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but, you know, I think that's my morning prayer.
I know. It's like, Lord, we are going to make it. Thank you.
Oh, goodness. Well, and we've been also just busy, you know, gallivanting around the Western world and catching up on all things that are going on. I know, Aunt Vicki, you share with our audience where you were this last weekend.
Oh, wow, Becky. What an honor it was to be in Fort Worth at the National Cowgirl Hall of Fame Luncheon and Induction. And what a gathering. I really don't have any idea how many people were there, but I would say, you know, close to between 800 and 1,000. And it was really an honor to sit in attendance and listen to the inductee stories. So congratulations to all of them and loads of fun. And again, so many great cowgirls. And if you get a chance to visit Fort Worth, by all means, make sure the Cowgirl Hall of Fame is on your list. Becky, you've been super busy. I mean, I've been talking to you all weekend, and you've been out and about. Tell us where you've been.
Well, you know, it's a funny story. I got to go down and participate and be part of the Columbia River Circuit Finals. And as you know, all the circuit finals are happening, and people are vying for their shot at the Ram National Circuit Finals in Kissimmee in March, I believe it is. And so we went down to Yakima. They had a big committee meeting, which I thought was great because the committees from all over the circuit, Washington, Oregon, Northern Idaho, came, you know, and collaborated and talked about things that were going great, things that needed some work, you know, how they could progress and make the events that they're doing better in the year 2016. You know, we were honored to have our friend and judge head of the PRCA, Clint Corey, was there bringing down some information from the folks at the PRCA office, and Rowdy Berry is the president. And they just, you know, it was just a great event. And speaking of where you were, our Miss Rodeo Washington had just flown in. She had gotten delayed 2 or 3 flights because of the tornadoes that you guys all managed to escape down there in Fort Worth that hit through that area. So it was a great time.
Becky, that was a wild weather day, let me tell you. Got up super early, drove up to Fort Worth with Gail Warner and another good friend, Jennifer McMillan. But Gail, we've had on our program before. She's a renowned author and does so much and contributes so much to the world of rodeo. Anyway, we got up really super early, drove up there, had, you know, ran through a little bit of rain going up, but good weather, left Fort Worth, and then I get a text from my son, Brett. It says, are you out of the thunderstorms? And I thought, well, I'm almost home. And then we saw where, you know, the tornado went through Fort Worth and did some damage. So, you know, unusual weather this time of year, I guess, in Texas. Usually we look for these things in the spring. But we made it, and Miss Rodeo Washington was beautiful, Becky. I didn't have a chance to say hello to her because there was so much going on.
Well, and that's okay. That's okay. You know, she was busy. She came in just burning the midnight oil, but she did a great job. So did Miss Rodeo Oregon. Those two ladies are going to do fabulous. And Miss Rodeo America, I can't wait to see where they place. But the circuit finals went great. I'm excited to have some of the guests that are going to the NFR be on our stage that I got to visit with this weekend. All in all, fabulous event down in Yakima. And I know that they just moved back. It's their second year, and they're going to be growing each and every year. So you'll be seeing a lot more publicity and some things coming down from Columbia River Circuit. So that was a blast, and I just want to say thank you to everybody that brought me up and allowed me the opportunity to be part of that event. So going forward, though, we tonight are, like I said, we're getting ready for Vegas. And one of the events that are taking place down there, and it's actually happening November 30th, and that is the Wrangler Gold Buckle Gala. And this is the eighth annual Wrangler Gold Buckle Gala that they're doing at the South Point. And the proceeds from this event go to benefit the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame and Museum of American Cowboy in Colorado Springs. And so they'll do a welcome invocation, do a silent auction, live auction, and then they have the Legend of Pro Rodeo Award. And that honor this year is going to Mr. Mel Potter. And Mel Potter was one of our guests about a year ago, and what a blessing and fun show that was when he was on. And we could have talked for 2 hours that night with him, if I recall correctly, Aunt Vicki.
Yeah, fabulous guest. I mean, so much rodeo history, and I mean, just so interesting. What a great man.
Well, and we thought, what a better way to honor him and honor the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame for picking him as their award winner than to bring you the broadcast that we did a year ago with Mel, and let you just listen to the character and the cowboy that he is and really understand why he was chosen for this award. I think it's going to be a great broadcast. And we just want you to sit back and enjoy it. It's going to be it was back when we were doing our shows, so it's probably going to be an hour interview, and you'll go through all the intros and everything all over again. But we just wanted to come on here, tell you about our rebroadcast, tell you about what we've been up to, and stay paying attention to our Facebook and our website, because we've just got a lot of information that we'll be barreling out to you in the next couple weeks as we make our way to Vegas. So with that, I'm going to say good night and stay tuned and enjoy the broadcast of Sheep's on Country with the CB Cowgirls with Mel Potter. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Becky. Good night, everyone.
Our pet
enjoy.
Food ingredients work overtime. They aren't just there for show. Dandelion greens work to maintain a healthy digestive system. Salmon oil works to enhance the immune system. Green-lipped mussels work to support joint health. These hard-working ingredients support your dog's active, healthy life. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Try our grain-free stews. The only pet food with Red Barn Bully Sticks.
4Radio.com. Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. TobeAccountable.com, practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sista Enterprise.
Trace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rio, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, She's Gone Country with Becky Christensen Phillips.
She's been playing at a room on the strip for 10 years in Vegas. Every night she looks in the mirror and she only girl myself, grew up on Long Island. So she packed her bags to try her hand. Says this might be my last chance. She's gone country. Look at them boots. She's gone country. Back to her roots. She's gone country. A new kind of suit. She's gone country.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I just want to say thank you so much if you're able to join us this evening. There's a couple ways you can find us and listen to us each and every week, Monday at 6 p.m. West Coast time, and that is, of course, if you visit and want to stream live, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/4radio, and that's F-O-R-E. R-A-D-I-O, For Radio. And just look for the red loop, click the link, and you can stream live. We also, if you want to sign up for a free Blog Talk account, you can do that and visit with us in the chat room. So if there's any questions you have for our guests, you can enter them there, and we are able to go over those online with or live with our guests. So you can definitely listen to us on Blog Talk. You can go back and listen to any of the archives if you missed them on Blog Talk, or you can go to our website at www.shesgonecountry.us. You can also listen to us live wherever you're at. If you have Bluetooth and you want to listen to the show through your Bluetooth and through your phone, you can just call 347-857-3760 and you can listen to the show live. And then as the interview progresses throughout the hour, if there's any questions you have for our guests, all you have to do is just press 1 on your keypad and that will take you into our host queue. And our producer, Maria DiGiovanni, will greet you there and let us know you're holding on the line, and we can bring you on to visit with our guests. So that's how you find us. That's how you listen to us each and every week. And, of course, we are on Facebook, so please be sure to look at our Facebook page, She's Gone Country with Becky, and interact with us. Let us know what you think of our guests, our shows, see what's coming up, and what's coming down the pipe, because we've had a really, really good lineup of guests. Gosh, I would think since we started last October. So I can't believe we're coming up on a year of bringing this show to you each and every week. And I'm really excited about what the future holds. So thank you for listening. I really quickly want to say thank you, of course, to our sponsors, because without them, as you know, we can't really do anything without our sponsors. They are the backbone and our support. So I first want to say thank you to 4 Radio for allowing us to use their medium to bring our show to our audience, and their station sponsors, Higher Ascent, the Ambassador Program, and B&B Builders and Remodeling. So thank you to 4 Radio and your sponsors. And then, of course, our own show sponsors for She's Gone Country with Becky. We want to thank Trinity Wellness and ToBeAccountable.com, Living Rural Productions, Cowboy Up Energy, and Trace Rio Silver. So thank you so much for the support week in and week out. We're really fortunate that you are behind us. And, of course, with me tonight, I was out last week, was out ill, so my co-host, Vicki Christensen O'Shields, took the lead for me last week, and she actually is off on vacation this week, touring and enjoying the California sun. So we wish her a enjoyable rest of her week. But with me tonight is the ever faithful and most loved and adored CEO of our charity team and Western Wishes, and she's here tonight with me, and that's Donalyn Quintana. Donalyn, are you there?
I am. Hi, Becky. I'm really anxious to have a nice interview tonight. I think it'll be a real interesting one, considering that we are so, you know, it's everything about our heritage, our rodeo heritage, and he's so instrumental in so many things with professional rodeo. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I thank you so much for assisting me tonight and each and every week. You've been so loyal, and I just love you so much. So I know you're busy. Real quick, I know you've been working on your book for Western Wishes. How is that coming?
You know what? I'd like to say that we have it, you know, we have half of our stories done. But you know what I love about them? It's amazing. You know, you didn't want to hurt a lot of kids and families' feelings. There's too many wishes, obviously. You couldn't give 300 stories, but there's 30 of the most inspiring stories that have come out of Western Wishes in the last 20 years, and they're really, I mean, sometimes you forget all the amazing things that happened and how things just always fell into place, and you know, there's so many great moments that were in, so many full circle things. I'm really excited about this book, and it's been a labor of love, but it's also been a little hard to do, because we've got a lot of wishes going on, which is wonderful. I'm so glad we've got wishes all over the country in about 12 states.
Wow. And for those of you who are listening that maybe you're not familiar with Western Wishes grants wishes to children that are facing adversity, and it's actually children, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, anywhere from, seven or, what is the age, again, Donalyn, that you really look for your wishes?
You know, years ago, well, you know what's amazing? Years ago, we said 4 to 24, because we always included college rodeo kids. They had accidents. But you know what? We don't put a limit. We always say young adults now. Because a couple years ago, we had one of the most inspiring wishes we'd ever had, and he was 38 years old with MS, and he came to the NFR, and 3 months later, he passed away. But it was an amazing, it'll be in the book, amazing story.
Awesome.
Of the kid, because he was a professor of law. He was a law professor at in Utah, and the PRCA, really, we had 48 hours to pull it together, and they helped us do it so that he could come to the NFR. But anyway, yeah, so we don't really, I mean, most of the time, they're, you know, we used to say 4 to 24, but and people sometimes say 4-year-olds, like, are you sure they know what they're you know, what they're doing, or who they really like, or the heroes? And oh my gosh, when you have dyed-in-the-wool rodeo fans, 4-year-olds do know who those champions are. So it is kind of comical to see. Everybody thinks that, oh, they're way too young, but it's not. All you have to do is see that, you know, twinkle in their eyes. It's so cute. It's so cute.
Hey, I was 4. My superhero and favorite person in the world was Wonder Woman, and I still remember that at 40. So something to be said about being 4
you never
and
forget.
Having a hero.
I know, it's true. It's really
true. Now tell me, when are you shooting for your book to be released?
Well, it's going to be ready by the NFR. We're shooting to have everything rewrite, proofing, and layout, thanks to Heather Sharp, Jack Roddy's niece and Marion's daughter. Thanks to her, we probably wouldn't make the deadline. She's going to do the layout for us. And she's been managing editor, and she's probably been pulling her hair out over me. Because it's just like if I was just doing the book, I think I could do it. But it's the book, it's the music video, it's national campaigns for a 20th anniversary on top of the wishes. And we just don't have our state and regional people really trained enough to be proactive. So I've got to run interference for all these wishes to make them happen. But I'm loving not being the road warrior. I just love being behind the scenes.
Well, and I appreciate it because you still take time out of your week, each and every week, to support us here on the show and be part of it. And that's special to me. And so if there's anybody listening that wants to find out how to be, one, either a volunteer or part of Western Wishes, just log on to our Facebook page or their Facebook page. You can find westernwishes.org. Or our radio show page, shesgonecountry.us, and just shoot us an email and let us know how you would like to participate or be involved, whether it's sponsorship, donor, volunteer, or if you even have someone that you think would be a great wish, get a hold of us and we'll make sure that we connect you with Donalyn so that you guys can partner up. So, Donalyn, we're excited to have that come out of the NFR and be a part of that and put it
speaking
on our website.
Yeah, speaking of that, tell us a little bit about that. I'm excited about that. And, you know, I love this. I just love to be a part. I feel like you guys are all family to me, too. But I love She's Gone Country, and I love seeing the growth and the momentum it's gaining. So it's exciting. I love that.
Well, and for our listeners, just to recap, She's Gone Country was something that was laid on my heart last year in August. And it came to fruition about October through just, you know, God's hand and the doors that opened. And this is all about just everyday cowboys and cowgirls who love God, who love being and living the country lifestyle, or cowboy, who love everything that is the American cowboy and the Western way of life, so that we can elevate and empower them to inspire and educate those that maybe don't know that lifestyle or maybe don't know why we are the way we are, so that we can just really bridge the gap and keep the heart of the American cowboy alive. And that's why I'm so excited about tonight's guest. Tonight we have a gentleman on the phone that has been a part of the American cowboy culture as well as just the, you know, involved in business around the world. So he's seen both sides. I think he's got a pretty well-rounded spectrum of blending, you know, cowboy versus you know, the those that don't live that lifestyle, through business and corporate America, and he's just been instrumental from being past KRCA president. He's a calf roper. He owns and operates a infamous ranch that raises great horses. And not only that, he also raises and I'll let him share a little bit more. But he also has an operation back east that he raises in the summer that has to do with Ocean Spray. So I'm really excited to welcome Mel Potter to the show tonight. Mel, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm so glad. I know it's a little bit later back where you're at, but I sure appreciate you taking the time out of your evening and spending some time with us on the show. So as you know, Blog Talk is internet-based, so anybody can listen anywhere around the world anytime they want. They can listen in archives, they can listen now, they can listen through their cell phones, through their tablets. We're pretty much accessible anywhere. So some of the listeners, we have loyal listeners from Canada, we have loyal listeners from Mexico, we have loyal listeners from the island of Crete in Greece, and as well as over the U.S. So I just always ask my guests, if you could, maybe take about, whatever you feel is enough time for you, and just give us a little bit of a history of who Mel Potter is. We're going to take a break in about 5 minutes, so we got about 5 minutes to share with the audience about who Mel Potter is.
Well, I grew up in Wisconsin at a young age. I went to Arizona when I was 9. I picked up the cowboy habit out there. I competed in rodeos, rope calves, bulldogs, trip steers, team tied and team roped through the years. I don't know what I would call my rodeo hobby. I rodeoed pretty hard 1 year in 1959, made the finals in the CAFR Open, and it wasn't all that economically good, and I kind of realized that, and I know my dad was an old hard-headed businessman, and when I got out of college, he asked me, well, what are you going to do now? And I said, well, I'm going to go rodeo and make a lot of money. And he kind of chuckled. He says, yeah, I think you ought to do that. I got back from the finals that year. I'd placed one round and placed in two or three other ones. And I got home. I had a wore-out Ford station wagon. My trailer needed new tires. My rope horse was crippled. And I had enough money in the bank to enter about the first big 10 winter rodeos. And he said, well, what do you think now? And I says, I think I better go back there to Wisconsin and learn how to raise those cranberries. That's what my family had been in since 1880. My grandfather started our home cranberry operation in 1880. My dad had been in it all his life. And so I kind of, you know, from then on, I kind of almost did it as a hobby, although in about 64, some guys came to me and said, you know, the real economical good part of rodeo is producing them and being a stock contractor. So Jack Brainerd and John Snow and I, we formed a company called Rodeos Incorporated that we operated for 10 years. We had many of the big major rodeos in the Midwest. You know, I could run through the names of them. One of them was the Chicago International Rodeo there at Chicago. And a bunch of state fairs and things back here in the Midwest. And we were very fortunate. We came up with some of the greatest bucking stock in such a short time. It was just a miracle. We were at the right place at the right time. We had horses that I think we had five or six of that were picked as the five as the best saddle broncs at the NFR. We had one bareback horse that was the best horse at the finals, and we had two, you know, some horses that came in second or third, number of them. But anyway, we operated that for 10 years, and after that I kind of went back to competing, mainly in the steer roping and team roping, and I guess that's kind of where I am. I was involved on the PRCA board for, I think it was 6 years, and Ben was a director on the National Cowboy and Western Museum there at Oklahoma City for, I don't know, I think about 12, 14 years. And I've done a lot of things in my life. I was a pilot for 52 years, got 13,000 hours in the air. That's a little over three years in the air.
Wow. That's a lot.
I did that mainly just coming from Wisconsin out west to big rodeos that I'd like to go compete in. And I don't know, I was very fortunate and lucky enough to win quite a few big major rodeos. And I guess, I don't know what else. I've just kind of been hanging around forever. Still compete. Still compete in team roping and PRCA rodeos, I guess. Last year I won one, and they told me that I was the oldest guy that ever won a PRCA event in a rodeo. So,
we'll just add that to the accolades right there.
I don't know. I've kind of wasted a lot of time messing around with rodeos, but I tell you the main thing that I've got out of it surely wasn't the economics of it, but it was getting to meet all the neat people and become friends of so many hundreds and hundreds of people all over the United States, people that I would have never met, never got to know. And to me, that's been my wonderful thing that's happened to me because of rodeo. And, you know, I've been in a number of different businesses. We run a lot of cattle. We raise a lot of cranberries. Are involved with Ocean Spray heavily. Let's see. We raise some pretty nice horses, and
Well, and Mel, I know I've got a lot of information too on that, but I'm going to interrupt for just a quick minute. We're going to take a quick station identification. When we come back, let's talk about the horses you're raising. We'll be right back with Mel Potter.
ForRadio.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Since 1997, Tres Rios Silver has been providing custom handmade trophy buckles at an affordable price. Family owned, your business is important to us. We are big enough to meet your needs, but small enough to provide that personal touch. Give us a call today at 800-550-7535 and speak with someone on our design staff. Or go online to www.tresriosilver.com. Let us help you design your next trophy buckle. That's Tres Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen-Phillips, and I just want to say thank you so much for joining us this evening. We are on the line tonight with my beautiful guest co-host, Donalyn Quintana. Vicki is off tonight. And we have as our guest tonight a well-rounded individual that has got much, much history and heritage with our rodeo culture, our the cowboy culture, the agricultural community. He's got quite a bit of history behind him, and we're welcoming him to the show tonight, and that's Mel Potter. Mel, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here. You know, they used to introduce me as Mel Potter. Now they say this is Sherry Survey's dad.
Well, you know, I think you have a pretty good grasp of how this whole thing works, and I think you have a pretty good history to share with our audience. And I was just coming to that part where, you know, tell us about your family and a little bit more about your wife and your daughters and you know, your other operation you got going in Arizona. And then, yeah, let's touch on Sherry, because I know she's got quite a bit of the Mel Potter in her, I would say.
Well, she's been a pretty good hand all her life. She, you know, started when she was very young and competed in junior rodeos real successfully and high school rodeos successfully and started to college. And she said, Dad, I'd like to try and go to the finals one time and I'll come back and go to college. Well, fortunately or unfortunately, she did awful well. First year she ended up second in the world, and then she won it again, and she's won it four times, and I guess she's won more money. She's well over, I think she's over $2 million now. She's got along real well. She's a good hand, good kid, good person. Mm-hmm. That's an important thing as far as I'm concerned.
She's a reflection of you.
My other daughter, Jolynn, she was a excellent cowgirl. She won the all-around at the high school, National High School Rodeo twice and was runner-up once. And I don't think anybody has ever done that. And then my wife, she ran barrels successfully. She went to the finals, I think, three times. And probably if she'd have went to – we were in the rodeo business at that time, so she didn't get to go to probably 25, 30 rodeos a year. She'd go to the ones down in – you know, Arizona, where our home is in the winter, and then head up to the Midwest and go to most of our rodeos, but I don't think she ever went to over 30 rodeos in a year. And she had a couple of great horses, and I trained one of them, and we purchased the other one. But I don't know what else you need to know.
What I think is amazing, Mel, what I was going to ask you is, you know, you've made that statement that when you were rodeoing, that you thought you better get into real, you know, back in the economics. You talked about the economics of rodeo. What do you think about the transition over these last, you know, 30 years with the way you can now truly rodeo as a way of life? I mean, the money is just so much greater, and it's really almost become more of a business than a job. But that's what's important to me is that, you know, you still have the connection of, yes, sure, of how we were brought up, you know, traveling to rodeos and the family and the friends, but the rodeo in itself has become very lucrative. So, you know, what do you think about all that?
Well, it's about time. But anyway, it has really improved greatly, and it's, pretty good, but it's still, you know, way behind, you know, golf or you know, the other major sports. But it's come a long way since I was really involved in it heavily, and it's nice to see those men and women that are competing being able to, you know, make some real money. They're great athletes. I think a lot of them could have been, you know, great athletes in any sport. And I don't know, it's a way of life. The people involved in rodeo, it's just like a big family per year, although it's not quite like it used to be back when I was really going to a lot of them and everything. I mean, nowadays it's you know, it's really a business, and they don't have time to have the experiences and things that we used to have. I knew, you know, your dad and your grandfather and his brother well back in the 50s, 60s, you know, and everybody knew everybody then. I still know a lot of contestants, but I don't seem like I know them like guys used to know each other, you know?
Right. And you know, that's what I think is I'm finding as I've done this show over the last year is, you know, even as much as I think it's important to connect the generations and the gaps just in our culture and, you know, the urban culture and, you know, kids that are involved in other sports and other genres of things that, you know, really don't understand the Western way of life. I think it's an important heritage. I think it's an important way of life. I think there's a lot of good skill sets and that you take when you come out of this type of lifestyle. But what I'm also finding is that I'm hearing, and there's so much to be said for my generation, Donalyn's generation, your generations, and I believe Donalyn feels the same way. There's so much that you have to offer to the current generations, and I think it's important that even those gaps are bridged because that way they don't lose touch and they do know that it's just more, you know, it is a profession, it is a job, but there's so much more depth to it than just that. And, you know, what do you think about that?
Well, it's just hard to describe to, you know, the general public or what the rodeo, I don't know, family is like. I mean, I just don't know how to describe it. It's very unique, probably the most unique sport there is. The way, you know, you've got guys, helping a guy on a bronc that he's rode that's going to be riding trying to beat him. You've got guys hazing for guys that they're trying to beat the guy that hazes that had bulldogged earlier. I mean, it's just amazing the sportsmanship that goes on in the rodeo world. I mean, just for instance, if I go to a little rodeo up here and I'm in the team roping, I draw a steer that somebody's had the day or two before. I can get on the phone and call those guys, ask them what he did, and I'll guarantee you they'll tell me exactly what he did, and I'm going to go out there and try and beat him. You know, I mean, there's no other sport, I don't think, in the world that has that kind of,
I think sportsmanship is a great description, because it's character, it's friendship, it's looking out for each other, and you know, it's almost like the golden rule in action: treat others as you want to be treated. And they're out there saying, "Hey, this is what I did. This is what you got to do. You know, more power to you if you beat me."
Right, that's exactly the way it is, and that I'm pretty sure is very unique in the sporting world.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think, Donalyn?
Oh, you know what? There's nothing like. I do miss the family closeness that we had in the 70s. I think, and I know that Mel. A couple years ago when I was in Australia, seeing my daughter in Australia, John Quintana said, "Hey, I'm real tickled that Mel Potter might be coming over. Were you going to be coming over with Jack Roddy? Is that what you were going to do? I never knew the story."
No, I went over by myself. I knew John and a number of other people. Yeah, and I spent 2 days there with John. He showed me, his ranch, and I had a wonderful time over there. Australia is a wonderful country, great people. The ones I knew, I spent 30 days over there. I rented a motorhome and put 7,000 miles on, and I saw about a quarter of it, maybe, or 20% of it. And, a guy like John, he'd say, "Well, you got to go see this guy." And I'd go see him. I didn't know him. I'd introduce myself, and I'd think, "Well, I'm going to be here a couple hours visiting with him." And, I mean, they wouldn't let you go. I mean, you got to stay for supper. You got to spend the night here. They'd be talking till 11 o'clock at night, and then they'd wake you up at 5 in the morning, start telling you about other stuff and want to show you this and that. And
About
every week or two, I'd just hide out someplace. I didn't want to see anybody. I needed to rest up. But it's a great country, and a tragedy that John got killed in that plane wreck. When I saw John in Reno, I don't know what it's been, 20 years ago, and he, I knew he was over in Australia, and I always wanted to go over there, and he told me, he says, "Well, you come over here, I got a 210, I'll just loan you that 210, and you can fly all over Australia and look the whole thing over." And unfortunately, when I got there, he didn't have an airplane, so I didn't get to use an airplane to get around over there, but just a tragic thing that happened.
He really talked. I forgot about that. I did hear that. I just thought you were planning on that. But that 30 days, what an adventure that you did, because, I mean, people don't realize those roads are horrible.
Yeah, and there's a lot of distance between those towns, I'll tell you.
Oh, my gosh.
It was amazing. It's a great country. I mean, I think it's kind of like the Western United States was maybe 100 years ago. You know, there's towns out there in the middle that had, board sidewalks, just like little old Western towns, in the interior of Australia, it's all agriculture. Cattle, sheep, horses, farming. It's just a great country, and the people got such, they're just like a big, like rodeo hands, they're just so friendly and outgoing and want to help you do whatever you want to do,
back to, when my daughter she was married an Aussie, and the wedding was up in the Northern Territory.
Uh-huh.
And so Johnny had that 210 at that time, and then the reason why he couldn't fly anymore is because he had this it was kind of encephalitis thing that you get from a fever up there in the Northern Territory, and they grounded him. But he took me to see Killarney, which was that 1.5 million acre one with that
right.
70,000 head.
Yeah.
And we were like 10,000 feet, and he said, Dunlin, I was sitting in the back, and he says, look out here to the, you know, to the left of the horizon. I said, uh-huh. And he said, look to the right. And he says, as far as you can see, that's Killarney. And it was pretty impressive. It was a really, you know, it's a good thing that we stayed friends all those years and
yeah.
had two great kids, because you know, it's almost like my daughter is very half Australian and half American. You know?
Yeah. Well, he's a great guy. I'll tell you, I'd
yeah.
known him for a long time when we were producing rodeos. He was rodeoing, you know, and I got
yeah.
to know him real well then, and I just I hated to hear about that
no.
plane crash. I still don't know really what happened. It amazes me that something like that could happen to him in a 210 as much as he's flown, but
yeah,
something went wrong.
Yes, I know. They still, after a year and a half, the only thing they have it down is pilot error, and nobody can really believe that. He was a very,
yeah.
very conscientious pilot.
Oh, yeah. Something happened besides
yep.
that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
something went wrong with that airplane somewhere or other.
Yes. So we yeah. both had tragedies in our families with,
yep.
you know,
yep.
considering plane crashes, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, we lost Mike, Sherry's husband, you know, and one
yep.
was in my airplane, and had two pilots with him taking him to a rodeo. And I tell you, you never know. I think,
no.
though, I think when our time's up, it's up, no matter where we
yep.
are or what we're doing.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Yep.
That's what he says, too. He says, just always be ready. And, you know, his mercy is,
right.
is and grace is beyond all of us. But
yep.
I think you're
yep.
right. Our days, he knows our days before we do.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, now, so tell me, Mel, we have about, let me see here, we have about 3 minutes before we go to commercial break. And, you know, I'm curious because when we get back from commercial break, I really want to dive into, I want to learn about these drifted horses. But before
okay.
we go there, I want to just ask, because what I think is really interesting about the life you've led is, you know, you got out of college, you rodeoed a little bit, you came back, you know, you built up and took over your family business. But in the interim of all that, while you did that, you ran a stock contracting company for 10 years, and then you got out of that, and then you went back to rodeo. So my question for you is, you know, not a lot of people get the great fortune of making those transitions. Typically, you see the cowboys, they ride, and then they retire, and then they own the rodeo company, and that's how they retire. But you went back. So tell me about that. That's pretty versatile.
Well, I just, you know, once you kind of rodeo and you're around rodeo, it's in your blood. You just, you know, I just miss the great people that were, that I was involved with. I didn't want to get away from them. And I, you know, when I got back after producing rodeos, I roped calves still for a little while, but I started tripping steers, and I kind of got to know a whole new group of people and families that were mainly steer trippers, you know, and what a great group of people they were. I just, that was one of my favorite times of my life was, you know, when I started tripping steers and got to know all the families in Wyoming and Oklahoma and that I hadn't really got that close to because I wasn't really involved in, you know, steer roping. And that was a great experience. I tripped them roped them for, about 20 years. And I met so many. Another whole segment of rodeo that didn't really rodeo full time, that steer ropers, you know, didn't go to near as many as us calf ropers did, you know, and so I didn't really know a lot of them. Some of them roped calves too, and I knew them, but the steer ropers, I just knew them, you know, but I wasn't really around them that much. But I'll tell you what a great group of people. I tell you, I've got some of the best friends in my life are, you know, steer ropers and their families, and it was just a great experience. I mean, my grandson here, he's kind of likes, you know, writing stuff and poems. He said, we got to write your life story. And
mm-hmm.
he, What do you think we ought to call it? And I says, well, let's call it my 80-year vacation, because everything I've done, I've had fun doing, and I loved every bit of it. I've had several, two or three real tragedies that weren't very much fun, but other than those, the rest of my life has been a kick.
Been great.
Because everything I've done, I enjoyed doing, and so...
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to finish up with Mel Potter, but we're going to talk about what he's up to now with all these drift horses. So we'll be right back with She's Gone Country with Becky. Stay tuned.
ForRadio.com.
Trust Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trust Rio's, our only limit is your imagination. That's Trust Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535 or find us on the web, TrustRioSilver.com. Proud to be part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I just want to say thank you so much if you've been able to join us this evening. You can find us online at www.blogtalkradio.com/4radio, that's F-O-R-E, and just look for the red booth, click the booth, and you can stream live from your laptop or your iPad or even your smartphone, or you can use that smartphone and you can call in and listen live at 347-857-3760. If you want to join in on the conversation, if there's any callers out there right now and you have any questions for our guest tonight, just press 1. And my producer, Maria DiGiovanni, will introduce herself and let me know that you're online so you can come on the air. So that's how you find us. Be sure to catch any of our archives if you've missed any of our episodes. We've had some great guests, and we have more coming. So be sure to check out shesgonecountry.us, gonecountry.us. Click the radio show, radio talk show tab at the top of the page, and all of our archives from our past shows are listed there for your listening pleasure. So be sure to check that out. And, of course, find us on Facebook. Joining me tonight, my Aunt Vicki and my co-host, Vicki Christensen O'Shield. She's on vacation. She's in California, and she's enjoying that sunshine with some girlfriends. And so we miss her this week. But ever faithful and my dear friend, I love so much, guest co-host Dominic Quintana has been joining me this evening. And we have been spending the hour visiting with, we're gonna introduce him how he's used to being introduced. This is four-time NFR World Champion Barrel Racer's father, Mel Potter, joining us. Mel, how's that make you feel a little bit?
Well, that would happen to be my daughter. I didn't have near the talent she has.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us this evening. And, you know, we have just about 11 minutes or so left. And, gosh, you've just been filling us in with so many great stories from your past and where you've been and what you've done. And, We're going to retire him tonight as Mr. Mel Potter, who's been on an 80-year vacation. So, you know, I'd like to know how to hook up on that program, because that sounds like a lot of fun. Tell us a little bit more, Mel. What I'm really wanting to find out now before our hour is up is I want to hear about your driftwood horses. You have a ranch in Marana, Arizona, with your wife and your daughter, I believe, that if I'm correct, and you're raising driftwood horses. And now, I'm curious about this because it looks like there's quite there's some interesting facts about these horses, and tell us why you picked these horses.
Well, when I was young and was starting to rope in Arizona, a lot of the guys were riding drifted horses there, and in California they were pretty much in those two states, and they were great horses, you know, but when they were talking and bragging about them and everything, I always thought, well, you know, they're great horses, but they've had great horsemen training them. So, you know, I kind of felt like that was what made them great, was the guys that trained them. But I read a little mare I had that I'd roped calves on to one of Dale Smith, who's called Speedywood. He was a son of Driftwood. And when that colt got up big enough to break and ride and everything, I broke him and I started making a calf horse out of him. When he was three, he just turned three. He was scoring good. He was tracking cattle good. He just was doing everything great, but he wasn't really stopping hard. So I thought, well, I'm going to give him a real jerk and see if I can't get him getting in that ground. And so I had my chute help, Wendy, load a team tying steer in the chute, and I ran up and I roped that steer. And, of course, when I waved my slack, that colt, he didn't have any idea he was going to get that kind of a jerk. And, I mean, it almost jerked him down. And I said, well, put another one in there. I ran up on that steer, and when I roped him, waved that slack, I mean, that little son of a buck got in the ground with all 4 feet, jerked that big steer right straight over backwards. And I thought, wow, these son of a bucks do learn fast. This is an amazing story. I said, well, I'm going to see if I can get him to work in a rope. I had a little narrow alley that I brought the cattle back in, and I put a little chain around his nose, kind of with a ring, with the rope through the ring, and when you got after him, it'd kind of get him a little bite on their nose, and I just trotted him down, throw that rope out, and got off and got after him, and he just went to running backwards. So the next time I did it, I couldn't hardly even get the end of the rope. He got back so fast. So I thought, wow, I'm going to put a calf in this alley. I'm going to see what happens. I run up on that calf, and I mean, he jerked him down and just come sledding him to me. And I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I did two more. This is an amazing story. I roped 3 more in that alley, and the same thing happened. I said, well, I'm going to see if he'll do it out in the arena. I roped 3 more out in the arena. He did the same thing. And the big Phoenix Rodeo was that. This was like on about a Monday. The big Phoenix Rodeo was on starting Wednesday, and also the big Tucson Horse Show, which at that time was one of the 5 major horse shows in the United States. And Wendy said, he ought to enter that colt in that junior rope horse class. Well, not being any smarter than I was, inexperienced, I thought, oh, that sounds like a good idea. She says, I'll take you. I was up Wednesday afternoon at Phoenix. She said, I'll take your head and horse and your calf horse up there. You can show that colt in the morning, and you can fly up there, and I'll pick you up at the airport, and you can rope in the rodeo in the afternoon. So we entered that colt in this thing, and she left. I went to load the colt. I couldn't get him in the trailer because he'd never been in a trailer, and I had to go get a neighbor to help me load him. And then when I got down to the rodeo grounds where the fair was and this horse show was, I mean, at home he just stood around like an old dead burro, you know. And when I unloaded him down there, that thing, Ferris wheels, flags flapping, more horses he'd ever seen in his life. His eyes were about twice as big as normal. And I mean, he was just acted like, and I thought, man, this is going to be the biggest wreck I've ever been in my life. So then I remembered I had never run him through a barrier. They were having a hauler class out in the arena, so I got a friend of mine to hold the barrier up, and I run him through that barrier a few times, and it was snapping. That got him to where he almost acted like he's scared to go back in the box. I thought, well, better not do any more of this. It'll really look good if I can't get him in the barrier to the judges. So anyway, make a long story short, I backed him in that barrier, and I figured, well, I'm just going to let him weigh out, not even come close to where he jumped the barrier. And when he saw that little old calf run out of there, that was the first thing he'd liked all morning. And, I mean, he just knocked his tracks out. I roped him, and he jerked him down. I ducked under the rope. They were pretty small calves compared to the big rodeo calves we were roping in those days. And I flanked him back down, tied him. The seventh calf I ever run on him, I won that. And, I mean, every one of them Texas millionaires and billionaires had all them high-priced horse trainers and big-name cowboys hauling their horses around to those horse shows. And I beat every one of them, you know. And I said, man, these driftwoods are something else. And since then, I always tried to get to where I could be able to raise some of them. And I've been lucky, very lucky, to come up with a lot of good ones. Chuck Shepard and John Kiekhafer, I got some mares from them. And I've purchased full brother to Bozo, Christy Peterson's great barrel horse, who has got driftwood in him. And I got a son of driftwood Ike from Chuck and John, and I used him for the stud, and we raised some great horses. I mean, I think our horses have probably won over $4 million in rodeos now.
Wow.
You know, they've been great. I mean, we've got, well, Sherry's run over $1 million on Stingray, and Kohler Todd had a nice head horse. He's won over $400,000 on him. Todd Soon's gray bulldog and horse, I think he's, between him and the guys that rode him, they probably won $700,000-$800,000. But there's probably, I'd say, 20 NFR caliber horses out there that come off our place out of those horses. And I just, what I tried to do is reincarnate driftwood. I crossed back different lines. There was very few driftwood horses left studs. I think there was only 7 or 8. All the cowboys wanted them, but they didn't want studs, so they cut most of the horse colts, and then they even spayed a lot of the mares because they didn't want to ride a mare. So driftwood had almost kind of, to me, become extinct. There wasn't much of that blood around, and so I went to gathering up mares from other lines, you know, besides Driftwood Ike and Speedywood and Easy Keeper, who the Gills had. I don't know. I can't remember them all right off the top of my head. But, and then I crossed them. I line bred them, but some people say I inbred them, but they turned out great. But we increased that percentage of driftwood in these horses. And I've got a number of, you know, mares that are over 25% driftwood, and I've got, you know, had a stud that was 25%. I've got one stud that's 30%, which I think is probably the highest percentage in the world. And
wow.
I just, I love them. And anybody that gets one loves them. They just are kind of like a, I don't know, unknown treasure.
just smart as whips, it sounds like.
I just been trying to kind of reincarnate old driftwood and help other people to have them, enjoy them. I don't know, there's a bunch, let's see, Walter Arnold is a great steer roper. One of his sayings is, those driftwoods will make you think you're a horse trainer. Because all you got to do is just rope on them, and they make a rope horse, you know. So anyway, that's kind of a quick trip about driftwoods.
Now, tell me, you were talking about this horse. Is that, I was on your website, and for our listeners, you know, we have a few minutes left, but if you're interested in learning about the horses that he's raising, you've got 2 minutes left. You can visit his website at www.potterranch.com, and that's two T's. So it's P-O-T-T-E-R, ranch.com. And you can see what it is him and his family are doing there in Marana. They've got some great horses on there. And, you know, it's funny, you were telling that story, and I was going to ask you, in fact, I wrote the name down, is Charlie. Is that the horse you were talking about?
Charlie, yeah, we called him Charlie. I can't remember what his registered name was, but we called him Charlie. And I mean, I was privileged to ride like Poker Chip, Dale's great calf horse, you know. We took him to Red Bluff 1 year, and 30-foot score, calves weighed 380 on the cows. The cows are at the back end. Dale tied one in 11-9 and 11-8. I tied one in, I think it was 12-2 and 12-3. We won first and second both go-arounds, first and second in the average, and I think third in the average. I was 24-something on two. The third guy in the average was like 32 seconds. And I'll guarantee it wasn't because we could rope so good. It was all because of Poker Chip Peak. He was like having a magic wand.
Now, time is short, and we have to say goodnight. And I sure appreciate you coming on and sharing all your history and your information on your horses and all that you've done. And we just thank you so much for tuning in tonight. You can catch this episode on the archives tomorrow morning. And again, Mel, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Remember, if you want to check out his Driftwood horses, you can go to www.potterranch.com, or you can look up Potter Ranch on Facebook in Marana, Arizona. So thank you so much. We're going to close it out. Thank you, Donlin, for joining me.
Thank you.
And
thank you, Mel.
Yes.
Thank you. For
good night.
Good night.
We're going to close out with a little cowgirl logic. Good night, everybody.
Goodbye.
Crystal Lions. Ever notice how certain things have their own culture? Rodeo definitely has its own culture. Could you imagine a person wanting to start rodeoing who insisted on wearing a three-piece suit? Not gonna work. What if this person wanted to rodeo but refused to submit to the particular rules of their event, much less a dress code? Failure would be inevitable no matter how good that person was at their event. When a person makes Jesus the Lord of their life, they become a citizen of the kingdom of God. With that citizenship comes rules to live by, a higher standard that must be adopted as our own. It's another culture that supersedes our natural earth culture, and it must be submitted to. If we want to enjoy the blessings and the benefits of the kingdom of God, we've got to adapt to its ways. We can't disregard the statutes of God and win in life any more than we can buck off at 6 seconds and expect to go to the pay window. A lot of the frustration that we go through in life could be avoided if we would just conform to life's rule book, the Bible, and learn to adapt to heaven's culture. Have you entered the kingdom of God and nothing is working for you? Take a good hard look at yourself and your lifestyle. I'll bet if you're honest, you'll find that you're ignoring some of the rules of engagement, demanding to do things your way, not submitting to the guidelines set forth long before you came along. And yet you want to win? How dumb is that? I'm Crystal Lyons, and this is Cowgirl Logic. For more, you can go to cowgirllogic.net.
ForRadio.com.